Your Bibles to Leviticus. The passage, it may take you a minute to find it. Leviticus 17. Speaking of the blood of Jesus Christ, we think about the body, and the body is made up of seven major systems, and the primary one being the circulatory system. We think about the blood, that our bodies are alive today. They're functioning today because the blood that flows through them. In Leviticus 17 and verse 11, if you're there, look at that with me. If not, you can listen. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." The blood makes atonement for the soul. Life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And the analogy or the illustration, of course, is that the life and the blood of Jesus Christ gives us spiritual life. And so today we want to cover that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the choir and the job they did, and the message that was sung for us in song about the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, may today this be very clear. Lord, may your Holy Spirit give understanding as I preach. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think about the blood, we think about the New Testament. The New Testament many times mentions the blood. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the Bible says, and Paul speaking, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." So without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ was required in order that my sins and your sins might be forgiven. Our blood is indispensable to life. I have to have blood running through my body, or else I am dead. I have to have life. I have to have blood. And again, the analogy is that Jesus Christ's blood is spiritually saves us. It spiritually gives us life. One of the analogies in the Bible is found in John 15, in which Jesus spake about the necessity of the branch abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. We all understand this. It's very understandable that in order for the limb to grow, in order for the branch to grow, it must abide in the vine. A limb on a tree is not going to grow unless it's abiding in the trunk. It's not receiving any life. Life comes from the trunk of the tree. It comes from the sap that's in the tree. Sap to a plant is indispensable. Without sap, a plant dies. I know this is way out there. Very complicated matter. We all learned this, you know, in the second grade. I don't know, maybe the first grade. Sap to a plant is what blood is to the body. Our blood oxygenates our body, nourishes our body, sanitizes our body. It performs various vital bodily functions. The blood is necessary. Have I said that yet? You cannot live without blood. In fact, we know, and I've been to the hospital with many, many of our church family over the years who have been low on blood. If you get low on blood, you become weak. Weak. You become anemic. You need blood. You need blood. And again, we have to have that blood for life. Again, what the blood does physically for us illustrates what Christ's blood did for us spiritually. Life is in the blood. No blood, no life. No blood, death. And then from Genesis to Revelation, we see this message, or we read the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. From Genesis all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we read about the importance of the blood. The importance of the blood, and more importantly, the blood of Jesus Christ. We think about Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, Adam and Eve. Adam sinned there in the Garden of Eden, and God gave a remedy. The remedy for their sin was the sacrifice of an innocent animal. The Bible says there in Genesis 3:21 that the Lord God made coats of skin and covered Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Forgiveness was found in the innocent blood of an animal. And whether we believe but that was a lamb or it was a goat, whatever it was, but the innocent animal had to die in order to cover, if he would cover, Adam and Eve. Then it's in Genesis chapter 4, we see Abel's sacrifice. Adam and Eve had a son whose name was Abel, and Abel brought a sacrifice to the Lord. He brought the firstlings of his flock. He brought an innocent animal that had to die in order for his sins to be forgiven. In Genesis chapter 12, we have Abraham. By the way, Abraham, all the altars of Abraham, from Genesis chapter 12 all the way through, altar after altar after altar that Abraham, the father of the Jews, built and sacrificed. All the animals that died on those altars in Bethel and in Hebron. And in Genesis chapter 22, we have the illustration, or we have the story of him offering up his son. And of course, God stayed his hand, but the lamb offered up, the goats offered up, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we see an innocent animal, a lamb or a goat. We see an innocent animal, maybe a bullock or a turtle dove. An innocent animal died in order that the sins of the one who was offering it would be forgiven. Would be forgiven. And we know, most of you who have been Christians very long, that those Old Testament sacrifices didn't forgive them of their sins. It pictured the one who forgave them of their sins. It was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, who one day would come and he would die and he would be buried and he would rise again from the dead. It was a picture. It was an analogy. It was an illustration for all those Old Testament saints, from Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel all the way through David, and all the Old Testament saints got to see Jesus Christ in foreshadow. Jesus Christ came. Remember John the Baptist, when Jesus Christ came and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world," as he pointed to Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. All those Old Testament lambs, all those Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus Christ. All the blood that was shed on those altars, the temple, when the temple was built there in Jerusalem, and all the sacrifices all pointed to the future Messiah, the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And think about the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, when we had the 10th plague happen, the last plague, as God judged Egypt, as God showed his power not only to the Egyptians but also to the Israelites in killing the firstborn. But the Bible says, and God told the Israelites that if they would take a lamb, the firstling of the flock, and they would take it to their home and they would tie it up outside for 3 days. Then after 3 days, they would take it inside, they would kill it, and they would consume all of it. And they would take the blood of that lamb and they would apply it to the doorposts of their house. And the Bible says that when the Lord came through that night, he said, when I see the blood on the doorposts, I will pass over you. And all of those Israelites, all those Jews who had the blood applied to their doorposts, all those Israelites, all those Jews who had the blood of that little lamb that they killed applied to the doorposts, they lived. The firstborn didn't die. But all the Egyptians who did not put the blood upon their doorposts, all the firstborn in those homes died. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Man, what a great song, right? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Then in John chapter 19, Jesus Christ died on the Passover. Remember that now, just as a thought this morning. Jesus Christ died on the Passover. So what was pictured in the Old Testament by way of the Passover, Jesus Christ fulfilled when he came, when he lived that perfect life for 33 and a half years, when he died, when he shed his blood, and then he was buried. He died on the Passover. And again, as a side note, as a reminder to our Christians and those of you here who may not know that Jesus Christ died on the Passover, and he died on the hill that Abraham offered up Isaac on. He died on the same mountain that Abraham offered up his son on. He died on the same mountain that the temple was built upon. He died on the same mountain, again, that Abraham offered up Isaac. He died on the same mountain that the temple eventually was to be built on. There Jesus Christ gave his life for us. shed his blood on Calvary. Jesus died by shedding his blood to save us. We were guilty. Just as Adam sinned, so are we sinners. We're guilty before God. We're all selfish by nature. You don't have to teach a child how to be selfish. They're born naturally selfish. And we adults don't seem to grow out of it, do we? No. I want my cake. Somebody made me some chocolate chip cookies with nuts in it. And I appreciate that very much. And I gave a lot of them away, but when I got down to the end, about 3 or 4 or 5 left, I said, please don't take my cookies. They're mine. Mine, 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 mine. I don't know. Shouldn't have watched that movie. No, we're selfish by nature. We are. And we don't grow out of it because that's what we are by nature. We're selfish. All marriage problems can be fixed today if we weren't selfish. If all of us treated our spouse as we would want to be treated, the marriage problems would go away. We're all selfish by nature. We're all selfish by nature. And the Bible says, for the wages of that, the wages of being selfish by nature, the wages, the penalty, the payment of sin is death. Revelation says that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And I'm so glad that heaven is real, aren't you? Man, I'm glad. I talked with a little girl this week and set her down and was talking to her about death and about things and just reminding her, man, heaven's a wonderful place. Streets of gold, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. What a great and wonderful place it is. But I remind you, just as heaven is real, so is hell. And Revelation says the penalty of sin is death and hell. And those who do not come to Jesus, those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, those who do not have their sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who do not have their sins forgiven by the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, those who do not trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone as their only Savior, as their only means of salvation, only those, by the way, who you can't put your trust in the baptism. You can't put your trust in church membership. You can't put your trust in good works. None of those things will get you to heaven and escape hell. No, no, no. No, you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. His blood, as they just sang 5 different songs about, His blood forgives us of our sins. And it's our sins that send us to hell. And when Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again and shed His blood for us, He forgives us our sins. And when our sins are washed away, we escape hell and we have a home in heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. What a wonderful, wonderful experience at the age of 6 years old when I knelt in my pastor's office and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The greatest decision I ever made. Escape hell and have a home in heaven. By the way, my sins are forgiven. A clean slate. The burden is lifted. I'm thankful the burden's lifted at Calvary. My sins are gone. Gone, gone. No greater feeling than having that burden of sin lifted. Jesus Christ, the innocent Lamb, the spotless Lamb, the sinless Lamb. Never one time did Jesus Christ have a sinful thought. Never one time did Jesus Christ perform a sinful deed. Why? Because He was sinless in disposition. He did not receive a sinful nature because He had no earthly dad. He was born of a virgin. The sinless one, the innocent Lamb. Pictured in the Old Testament, all those innocent lambs, all those innocent sacrifices in the Old Testament, thousands upon hundreds of thousands of animals that died, the innocent animals that died, to pre-picture the innocent one, Jesus Christ, who would ultimately come and shed His blood for our sins. I'm thankful He did 2,000 years ago. In order that my sins might be forgiven and I might have eternal life. The innocent died for the guilty. Why? Why is that? Why did the innocent have to die for the guilty? Why did that? Because God loves us. God willingly gave His Son for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him puts their trust in Him and Jesus Christ, can have eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, I'm telling you, come to Jesus. His blood will wash away your sins. He gives life. Jesus came that we might have life, he said. Ephesians 1:7 says we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. By his blood that he shed on Calvary, by his blood that he shed on the cross, we can have eternal life. We can have forgiveness. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read it really quickly in chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Story is told, and this is kind of a generic story, but a story is told about a man who was being hunted by the police. He ran into some thick woods and began to run, and he thought he outsmarted the cops. He thought he had outsmarted them. This is back before the day of infrared. I love that. I love that helicopter up there, and looking down, it can see the guy running. And you're not getting away, sir. Maybe it was a woman. But in that day, the man thought he tricked him. He thought he got away. What'd they do? They sicked his own bloodhounds after him. Went back to his house, got his own dogs, and sicked the dogs on him. And then didn't take long. They were fast on his heels. The man knew, he knew the bark of his own dogs. He knew that they were going to find him. He knew how good of dogs they were, how good their smellers were. My smeller used to be really good before COVID. I don't have a good smeller anymore. But boy, they were tracking him down. They were on his heels until what? He came to a creek. He came to a river. What did he do? Y'all know the story. He jumped in. And he swam downstream. And then he got out. Dogs couldn't find him. Why? Because the water covered up his smell. Can I tell you, the blood of Jesus covers our sins? The Bible says our sins are thrown into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. They're thrown as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. That's a real long ways. Never to be remembered. I'm thankful my sins have been forgiven. Let me ask you the question this morning. Are your sins forgiven? Have you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have your sins been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because he had no sins of his own, because he had never committed a trespass, because he had never committed iniquity, because he never even thought about it and never had a bad thought, death could not hold him. He paid for our sins in full, and then on the third day he rose from the dead. And this is a day we set aside to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, though we do it every Sunday. But today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Can I tell you today, Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. The death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. He's alive today. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose of a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah! Christ arose. He arose, and he lives at the right hand of the throne of God today, making intercession for us. Listen this morning. We are all sinners. We're all selfish by nature. We are all in need of forgiveness. Everyone wants forgiveness. Everyone needs to forgive, but we also, all of us, want to be forgiven. And through Jesus Christ and his blood on Calvary and his resurrection on that third day, we can be forgiven. Jesus Christ, the innocent one, died for our sins. He shed his blood for us. Spurgeon, my favorite preacher of yesteryear, favorite hymn was, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains." Lose all their sins. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 11, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, he that trusteth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You'll never be more alive than when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because he came to give us life. And give us life more abundant. I'm thankful the benefits of accepting Christ, the benefits of having my sins forgiven, the benefits of trusting in Jesus, his life, his death, and resurrection, are not just heaven, but a better life here and now. A life of peace. You want peace? You want genuine peace, true peace? A life of contentment. Man, everybody wants more. Everybody wants more. And when you get more, you want more. Through Jesus, you can be content. Amen. A life of peace, a life of contentment, a life of joy. I'm thankful I experience and have experienced and do experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's nothing like being a child of God. Amen. It's the greatest. We have the greatest Heavenly Father. We have the greatest Dad. Trust Jesus. There's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, do you know, if you were to die, that heaven would be your home? Do you know that for sure? Has there been a time in your life that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior? I hope you know that. I hope you know it without a doubt, because you can know. John said, "These things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life." That you might know. You don't have to hope you're going to heaven someday. You can know if you'll simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's all stand. We're going to have a verse of invitation. If you'll stand with me, we want to invite you, those of you who may not know Jesus as your Savior. We have some counselors here. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in doubt. Won't you come and get that assurance? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not experiencing joy like you ought to, or not having that peace and that contentment. Maybe you want to come and pray this morning. The altar is open. The altar is open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've had. We thank you for the wonderful music, the message and song. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would continue to work on hearts. That your spirit would give understanding. Lord, may those who may be watching or here in the auditorium who do not know you as Savior, may they trust you today. Lord, may they trust you. May they put their confidence in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 164, "There's Room at the Cross for You."
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
As we continue to sing, there's still some at the altar.
Lord, such hearts come this morning. Found him a friend.
Listen to the words of that hymn. It's a great old hymn.
And have turned from the sins they have sinned. The Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you.
Aren't you glad there's room at the
cross?
There's room at the cross. No matter how many people come, there's still room at the cross for you.
Though millions have come, there's still room for you. Christ, there's room at the cross for you.
We continue to sing.
The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you.
Though millions have come,
though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
All right, please be seated for just a moment. We'll get some announcements.
If you were given a bulletin on your way in this morning, please use that to mark your calendars. But this evening, we will be observing the Lord's Supper, and that will be during our 6 p.m. service tonight. So if you're visiting with us and you're saved and would like to partake in that, we would welcome you to that. And for the rest of us, we'd love to see you here tonight at 6 p.m. Also, we have a choir appreciation lunch. Didn't the choir do a great job this morning?
Amen.
Amen. They did. And there'll be a choir appreciation lunch on April the 16th following the AM service that Sunday. Also, we have HCA Day, Heritage Christian Academy Day, that's coming up here Sunday in just a couple weeks, April the 23rd, that same day. We'll have missionary Colin Hendricks with us, and then our men's advance. There will be more details coming out about that. If you have attended that in the past and you'd like to sign up again, please sign up at the back table, and we'll get some more information about that and costs and such for those of you that are not aware of the event as well here in the coming days. Also, today, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there's no choir practice today. And all God's choir said.
Amen.
Maybe we should have choir practice. I don't know. I think they're just tired. Visitation and soul winning this week will be at Tuesday at 10 a.m. and then 7 p.m. and then also Saturday at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Do you want to thank for all the help this past few weeks? Help with the spring fling yesterday. Almost 10,000 door hangers were put out over the last few weeks. 2,000 pounds of candy yesterday. I don't know how many pounds it was really, but it was the most candy I've ever seen in my entire life. You guys did a great job of bringing that candy. The horse trough was overflowing, and the kids, literally there were parents saying, "That's enough." That's enough. I mean, kids' buckets were just spilling over, melted chocolate everywhere. It was awesome. I appreciate Brother Wiggins and staff and so many others. Brother Schuler, anything smoked is amazing, and great hamburgers and hot dogs. And our ladies working all that food did a fantastic job. The face painting and bounce houses, cakewalk. I did end up with some cookies, desserts, and just, again, awesome job. The Lord, again, give us fruit for our work there. And so, ushers, if you come forward, take up the offering this morning. Do remember our missionaries of the week, Josiah DeCuna, they're in Portugal. Brother Matt Haynes, they're in Kurdistan. Keep these missionaries in your prayer. And we're so thankful to be a part of these two ministries here. The Bible says, "Given it shall be given unto you." And God blesses our giving. Invest in eternity this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, may you bless this investment. Lord, may you bless the offering. Use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to have Tony and Vicki De Leon come this morning to join our church family by statement of faith. And we had the opportunity to be in their home this last week, my wife and I, and just it's amazing how many the same people that we know. It's a small world, it really is. And so we're so glad to have them come and be a part. All in favor of accepting them into the church family, let it be known, a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, Lord's Supper, this will be a service that will last about 45 minutes. So I encourage you to be here tonight, be a part of the Lord's Supper. Let's all stand. Visitors, thank you for being with us this morning. I hope you come see us again. If we can ever help you, do anything for you, please, please, please let us know. And then we look forward to what the Lord's going to do throughout the next few weeks. And again, our church family, if you come by and give the De Leon right hand of fellowship, we won't make them turn around and anyway. But you come by and give them right hand of fellowship and look forward to getting to know them even better. Be back tonight here, 6 o'clock. Again, the service will be about 40, 45 minutes long tonight. And have a wonderful, wonderful Easter afternoon. And it's a beautiful day for it. So I'm going to have Brother Kent Watts come and dismiss us in prayer. I love to see Brother Kent walking so good and feeling so good. And he's out helping yesterday and even able to make it up the stairs. Just a couple years ago, he couldn't do none of this. And God's done a miracle, and we're so appreciative of him. Brother Kent, you dismiss us in prayer, please.
I may be slow, but I'm persistent.
You are persistent. Yes, sir. Dismiss us.
Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come into your house to worship today. We ask that you be with us as we go out in the world to do your will. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, these things we pray. Amen.